Morning, everyone. I'm here with Becky Hoare. She is the founder and director of Pop-Up Play Village. Hi, Becky. How are you?
Hi, it's lovely to be here and I'm really excited for our chat today.
No, brilliant. Thanks. And you were very much on time. So I really, really appreciate that. In fact, it's a trait of all good business owners and successful people. They are organized. So, that's brilliant. And it's
Definitely.
not everyone is always on time, so it tells a story in itself. So, just to start with, Becky, can you tell everyone listening about Pop-Up Play Village and what you do and what you offer, and just as a starting point?
Pop-Up Play Village is a mobile role play village. So we go to various different venues and events and we pop up our village, as we say. So we've got like a little supermarket, we've got a vet, a construction site, a hospital, and many, many more play areas. So we run ticketed play sessions, both weekdays, weekends, term time, school holidays. We also run a lot of children's birthday parties. As we are mobile, we can go where we are booked, which is great. We can travel around and be where people want us to be. We also run wedding entertainment as well for the children at weddings. We also go into schools and early years settings with our curriculum planning. I used to be a primary school teacher, so I've created curriculum planning for our village to go into schools and early years settings. And we also work with, we go to festivals, fairs, and we do also collaborate for corporate events as well. So there isn't really anything that we can't do with our mobile role play village, which is great. It's very adaptable and flexible to fit the space, and the place that books us.
No, it's a it that's brilliant, and it's a it. I was looking through your website and information yesterday, which is great, by the way. And I totally get it because my kids are now, what are they, 11. It's a bit scary when you start to think of how they're growing up, but they're 11 and 9. But when they're a bit younger, of course, then they absolutely love these role play type things. And we didn't have anything like what you've got up our way. I mean, I live in North Norfolk, so we're kind of in the back of beyond, but I've never seen it either. What I have seen are dedicated locations, and we've got one near us, and the kids absolutely loved it, where you've got to drive there and go there, and it's a it's a proper thing. The pop-up and the mobile aspect to it is absolutely brilliant. So no, I love that, and we'll get into, I'm really interested to understand, like, where how you went from primary school teacher to founder and director of Pop-Up Play Village, which is now a franchise as well, of course, and you're looking to become a national brand, and you're well on your way to doing that. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about where you were as a teacher, and how you then kind of moved away from that and got into this.
So it was all through my children, to be honest. So I was teaching up until my second child was born. At this stage, I had a 2-year-old and a newborn, and I was looking for places to take them to, rainy day, found nothing that was suitable for mixed age group of children. There's something for a toddler and there's something for a baby, but not for both of them. And I just remember saying to my husband, why is there not, a role play village that just pops up in a local venue? It's really safe, that you can see your children at all times. It's not like soft play where you've got to clamber in with them. Once I thought of the idea, I couldn't shake it off. And then it was actually my husband that gave me the nudge to say, just go and try it. If you don't try it, I had no intention of running a business at all. He said, if you don't try, you're always going to wonder what if. And also going back to teaching just wasn't going to work with 2 young children. So that's, yeah, it's my children and my husband, I guess, that gave me the nudge to start it. So that was back in 2016. In 2018, we franchised the business. The reason to franchise was because I knew it worked really well. I was running it for a year already. I could see the demand, and I wanted families to be able to access it across the UK. I knew that I couldn't grow the business across the UK just by myself. Not only did I have two young children to look after, it just wasn't going to be possible. And franchising seemed the perfect solution to have, different franchisees in different locations. They're all growing the brand themselves in their communities. And I'm so glad that I went down that route because I couldn't do it without the team that I have.
So Becky, yeah, that's it's always really interesting for me, because I did a business studies degree mixed with marketing and all of that in the UK back in 2000. That's when I graduated. And do you know what, the word I never learned about franchising at all in that in that whole module over those 3 years with a 1 year work placement. I never understood what franchising was. I always still, even after all that, thought of franchising as McDonald's and a sports, sports franchises in the US particularly, and film franchises. And I think a lot of people have that general understanding of franchising if they don't understand it the way we do, of course, and the way you now do. So I just wanted to ask, when did the concept and the idea of franchising as a business model for growth kind of spark in your head? What did you remember what led to that thought?
It was quite early on in when I started Pop-Up Playvillage because I could see the success of it and I was struggling to keep up with demand, especially birthday party bookings, things like that, plus my own young family. And I was just like, well, I can see that other children's activity providers are have franchised their business. So I guess it came from them. I was taking my own children to some of the classes that were franchised. So I looked into the model because of them, I guess. I could see it was working for other children's activities, and I knew it was the way forward for us, for me to be able to still have my work-life balance that I wanted to spend time with my children. I didn't want to be stuck at my desk working or out running events. So it was just, it naturally went that way. I didn't really compare it to anything else. I was pretty certain that franchising was the route to go down.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's I mean, I'm passionate about franchising. So if you're the right type of business, franchising is definitely the right way to grow, and keep control of your brand and consistency and all of that kind of thing. So and in terms of what I wanted to ask you was the profile of your ideal franchisee. Like, who would this business suit? So, if there's anyone listening and they're thinking, wow, this sounds like something that, someone they know might be interested in, or they themselves might be interested in, what makes up your franchisees? Because you've got quite a good number of franchisees now,
Yeah.
it seems. And yeah, I'm just interested to understand that.
Yeah, so I think the key, what I look for in a franchisee is that they've got that passion to provide role play experiences for their community. If you don't have that passion, you can't grow and drive a business. I think that is the real key. You put your heart and soul into it. So you've got to have the passion and want to work with children, and their families, and ultimately to love role play and the experiences and the opportunities that you're offering for children. So that's the key. So if I get an email from someone interested in running a franchise, I can usually tell through the email if they've got that passion and drive for the business, and then I go on to talk to them, meet them, things like that, and you can just tell if somebody's, got that drive and really wants to run the business. They love the concept of it. So I think that's the key for me. But I think the benefits for a franchisee is that it's flexible around their family life. So if they want to run their own business, be their own boss, set the hours that they want to work. There's no minimum or maximum hours for Pop-Up Playvillage. We don't set anything like that. So I think if somebody's looking for that flexible career that fits around their life, and they're happy to be their own boss and drive their own business, I think that's who we're looking for.
Great. And do you have any couples who are franchisees, so people that are looking at it as maybe a bigger business opportunity, more of a full-time business where there's two of them involved and maybe husband and wife or partners, and they can work around the kids together? Is that common, or have you found that?
Yeah, so we do have a few couples that run franchise together. So we've got two married couples, that run the business together. It can be run full or part-time. You can plan in, schedule in as many events activities as you like. And we also have two friends that run the business together as well. So it's completely an option. And because we run so many different services, you can fill your diary at work full-time if you wanted to. But equally, if you just want to do a couple of mornings a week running play sessions, that's absolutely fine too. So that's why I set there's no minimum or maximum amount of events that someone has to run. It's literally they're in the driving seat to control their business and how where they want it to go.
And I assume you obviously don't have to be a teacher to run this business. That's where you came from. Your background was teaching. And but I wanted to talk about teaching and the teaching profession. And and I guess aim this segment a little bit at teachers because I know personally that a lot of teachers are struggling. They're not being supported. Post-COVID, there's massive learning gaps, and it's the pressures are just building up and up and up, and then it's almost like a generation. It's going to be a whole generation of kids before maybe things get back on track, and that's really, really difficult for some people. And but traditionally or historically, teachers haven't been the kind to leave their profession or their career, unless they're having kids like you did, and there's something that kind of motivates them to do that anyway. But there's a lot of teachers are very worried that they would like to leave teaching. That's all they know, and they would like to start their own business, but they're quite risk averse in general. What would you say to teachers who are maybe they're stepping back from teaching to have kids? Maybe they are just sick of the teaching profession, but what I find in common with a lot of teachers is that they really want to stay involved in child development, right? And I think that's the key. And so I wanted to ask, like, what would your advice be to teachers who are looking at opportunities and business opportunities and indeed franchise opportunities? How would you say for them to go about that?
So I was very much in that situation before I started Pop-Up Play Village. I completely understand the stress of teaching, and I knew I couldn't go back after having a second child. It just financially it wasn't going to work with childcare costs, but also you miss out on so much because you're with other people's children. So I can completely relate to this. And then a couple of years into running Pop-Up Play Village, I was missing teaching, and that's where the idea of creating the curriculum planning for schools and earlier settings so I could go in and teach in the settings through Pop-Up Play Village. So that's how that all came about. And I now go into, as well as managing the franchise, I do also run my franchise in Thatcham and Newbury. And I do go into two settings, once every week, once fortnightly. So I do still teach, but I teach through Pop-Up Play Village. So I take the play areas in. They're all linked to what the children are learning in the school. So what I would say to teachers that are listening is that Pop-Up Play Village is brilliant for teachers to come and join. You've got all of that teaching experience. You can go into schools. The beauty of Pop-Up Play Village is that you go into school and you have all of the fun elements of teaching. You get to play with the kids. You get the planning is it's fairly straightforward to do because I've developed it all. The curriculum planning is all there to follow. And then when the children go home, you go home. There's no planning, assessment, staff meetings. And lots of the teachers that when I go into the schools, they do say, "Oh, your job is great, isn't it? I'd like to do that." So I'd say Pop-Up Play Village brings the best of teaching. You can pop in and out of schools, you can go into lots of different settings. So if there's any teachers that are interested in staying in education, still going into schools, Pop-Up Play Village would be great for them.
Yeah, so Becky, on in a number of ways, where for people interested in Pop-Up Play Village, either getting you in to a setting or interested in actually becoming a franchisee and actually taking on the business in their area, where's the best place to go? Like, is there a website which you would say like, that's the starting point? Go to that website and everything from there is obvious.
Yeah, so we have our franchise page on our website. We also have our information on visiting schools and earlier settings on our website as well. And then when someone inquires about being interested in running a franchise, they do tend to email me, which is all on that page, and then I send them a link to watch three video workshops. So I've filmed three video workshops all about the franchise, the costs involved, the different packages we have, what we offer, the different services, everything is in those video workshops to provide all the information straight away. And then after the person has watched the video workshops, we tend to have a discovery call, either via Zoom, phone call. And then from there, the person applies through our application form. And then if they're successful, our onboarding process is fairly straightforward. So the first 6 weeks, the person that's just signed up carries out our training, which is all done online in their own time. We've got it all recorded for them. And in that time, we order and prep the kit, get it all ready, and deliver it to them. And then when it comes to launch time, I'm always there to support a franchise launch. If I'm not there, like I can't make it, there's always a member of the team that will go and support. And then from there, there's as much support as a franchisee would like. You know, I'm always there to help and guide. It's not just at the start when they join, it's ongoing. So we have a very clear process, and I think it works well. I've heard the video workshops are really helpful, so that's good.
Yeah, Becky, I'd agree. I think, I think video is the way to go. We, with a lot of our clients, that's what we are advising them now is just create talk to camera videos. They don't have to be clever, just to your phone. Everyone's phone is good enough to do that. And so, yeah, we're a massive advocate of creating videos. I think a lot of people aren't very comfortable doing it, but I do say, well, you need to just become comfortable doing it. The first time will be horrible, but once you've done two, three, four, it will become a bit more natural, and it but it is very helpful, and it's how people consume information these days. So we have to, we have to look at that. And so if people want to find the website, it's if they Google pop-up play village, it's going to come up top, because I did it yesterday actually. So
That's good.
I know it comes up top, so that's fine. And talk to me as well about, because the other hurdle to people looking to start their own business or franchise is the investment, is the investment levels. And so again, I was reading about how you can help people to get funding so that they don't have to invest very much money of their own up front. And that's a huge, I think that is a massive barrier for people. And so talk me through how that works with you, and what your advice would be.
So we are supported by a government-backed loan. All of our franchisees that have applied for it have received it. That's definitely the way to fund it if you don't want to use any savings or you don't have any. So the way it works is the government-backed loan provides all of the funding, and then you repay it off spread over the franchise term of 5 years. So it makes it really low monthly payments each month, especially as you're running events and services as you go along. So there aren't any savings or you don't need to find the money to join Pop-Up Play Village. We have that in place, which works really well for us.
Brilliant. Okay, well, that, I mean, that's massive, to be honest. So anyone listening out there, that's a huge, I think, relief for some. And ultimately, Becky, you're looking for the right people. That's clear. And if the right person doesn't have any money to invest, it doesn't matter. There's another route. And of course, there's certain boxes that have to be ticked when you go through these processes. And you've got to have a good credit rating, and et cetera, et cetera. But most, most people looking at franchising will tick most of those boxes. So yeah, no, that's great. Becky, what talk me through your franchisee network, and the people that are really l like growing it in a big way versus, and I would say, more of a full-time business, and people that are really very happy to run it as a part-time business. And because again, when people look at franchising outside of the children's sector, most franchises demand full-time commitment, and so So, but the children sector is different. You know, it doesn't require that. I would say the majority can absolutely be run part time, and therefore it suits people. And I think that's why you get so many, you know, so many people kind of gravitating towards that sector. So I just wanted, you know, I just wanted to dig a little bit deeper into if people want to treat this like a serious business, maybe as a couple. How big can they grow? Like, how, you know, what can they actually do in their area to become, to maximize, I guess, the income and the returns from the business?
So there aren't really any limitations to the business. So some of our franchisees that do run it full time, there's so many different services that we offer. So during the week, we can be doing ticketed play sessions. We can be in schools. Weekends, we can be filling our diary with weddings, parties, festivals and fairs, corporate family events. So you can actually fill it 7 days a week if you wanted to. But another way to expand as well, which a couple of our franchisees have done, is to have multiple of different play areas. So like two or three construction sites, for example, so that they can run two events at the same time. So they could have a party in one area of their territory and a party in another one, and they have staff so they can go separately, run it at the same time. They've got enough kits to split it, and then you're really looking at growth there because you're running multiple events at the same time. You've got staff to manage. Also, some of our franchisees as well have bought additional territory as well to make their areas bigger as well. So they've got more area to run their services. So there isn't really a limit on expansion. There's different ways of doing it, but it's always there, and it's down to each franchisee to grow their business how they want to grow it, how big they want it to be, which is great.
And how many territories have you identified in the UK? If you're talking about single territories, how many opportunities are there? Like how many pop-up play village business owners could there be in, you know, if you grew nationally and fully?
So yeah, we have got our territory mapping software that has mapped that out. So it's over 300
Wow.
franchise locations that we could have across the UK. Currently, we've got 29, predominantly in the south at the moment, but we are starting to grow up into the north as well. We've got one franchise in Scotland, so we are getting there. But if you look on our website, you can see majority are in the south, and that's where I started it. So I guess that makes sense. But yeah, plenty of opportunities for growth across the UK.
No, that's, I mean, any franchise in that gets to over 20 franchisees in the UK is doing incredibly well and must be doing something right. So, you know, congratulations on that, because just that number proves that you're doing, you must be doing so many good things there. And I wanted to ask your advice now to a small business owner who has a successful business, or what they consider to be a successful business, could be part-time, full-time, whatever. It could be in the children's sector, which obviously you know very well. So maybe we can focus the answer on them. But what would your advice be to them looking at growing their business and then seeing that, oh, there's loads of people are doing this franchising thing? What would you say the steps they should take to find out more about that, and then to get the right advice, and to be able to help them make, you know, better decisions, because it's always it's easy to make mistakes, and sometimes mistakes can be, you know, really a setback. And so I just wanted to hear from you as to how you got through that to where you are now.
So when I decided to franchise the business, I actually didn't find much support out there for, how to do it. So it was very much I researched it and worked out and wrote all the franchise manual. Obviously, I got legal advice for the franchise agreement and everything like that. But I very much did it all myself. And I know how much hard work that was and how time consuming it was as well. So, anyone out there that's looking to franchise their business, there is so much support out there now. There's so many different companies that offer guidance and step-by-step processes to franchise your business. So, I would suggest those because I know how tough it was for me. Another bit of advice I would give as well is to ha it's I found my first franchisees were in Basingstoke, and I was running Thatcham Newbury and Reading at the time. So they were next door to me. They were a neighbouring franchise. That worked really well. If you've got a franchisee, your first franchisee that lives nowhere near you, it's going to be a lot harder to do that initial franchise your business, because I could go and visit them, chat to them, meet up with them, and get an idea of how franchising works. Another thing I would say is you do learn as you go along. You are going to make mistakes, trial and error, but it's just you're learning how to franchise your business whilst you're doing it. You can't really learn everything before. You've kind of got to go through that process, but it's completely worth doing it. I 100% so pleased that I have gone down the franchising route.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, Becky, franchising in general, it is a bit like building the plane while you're in the air. I mean, it is like, and that's at every single level. And do you know what? It doesn't matter how much money people might spend with consultants or with advisors, there is still the element of you just don't know what you don't know until you're in it. So I think that's really, really very true. But there's one bit of advice there which I think is absolute like gold, which is when you are seeking your first franchisee. I mean, we call them that. You know, they're a pilot franchisee. They're one of your first ones, and then I think it's incredibly important that they are near to you. Don't be tempted to, you know, to take someone on in Scotland if you're in the south of England. By all means, keep them interested and say, look, we're not at that stage yet, and they might still be there in a year's time or whatever. But I think having your first franchisee very close is key, because that pilot, they're actually part of your development process as a franchise. You know, the feedback you get from them, because they are effectively following your model, they are the best person or people to identify the gaps in your processes and your systems and your training and everything else. And that's no problem. I think every franchisor should know that there's always going to be gaps, and you will only start to fill those when you've actually got your first franchisee going. And that first franchisee could be part of a kind of an inner circle. It could be friends and family, or a friend of a friend, or whatever, and that's fine. Or it could be someone just totally random. It doesn't really matter. You work together, and they become really part of the growth of the business. And I wanted to ask Becky, how many franchisees would you say you took on before you suddenly it all clicked and you felt, wow, actually, do you know what? There's always gap fill, but actually the big ones are now filled. Like at which point did you really think, do you know what? This is it. Like I always we're gonna improve, but I feel I'm pretty much there now.
I remember very clearly when I hit 10, that was a very big deal for us. Those double digits. So I would definitely say there was something special about that. So I was like, yeah, probably 10 in my mind. But then obviously you have your next goal, don't you? And it keeps growing like that. But that was the one that really stuck in my mind. Wow, we've got 10 locations. Isn't that amazing? So yeah.
Yeah, well, you're at 10% now, Becky. So, you know, 10% is a, you know, from
Yeah,
10 to
true.
10%. So it, yeah, it's a massive achievement. And I think life as a franchisor only gets easier, really, when you've got a good, you know, a good network. And so you talk about 300 territories, and you know, having 300 business owners. Obviously some might have multiple territories, because they want to grow a bigger business. But what's your vision? What's your overall vision? You know, if you're thinking about your 5 year, you know, let's go 5 year plan. What are the basics, or what make up the basics of that? Where do you want to be in 5 years?
So ideally, I want across the UK customers to be able to reach one of our locations. Yes, it may be an hour and a half to drive or an hour, but they're close enough to one of our locations. So we're spread out enough across the UK to be able to do that. So in the southeast currently, we are achieving that. predominantly, especially like Cornwall and M4 corridor, we are achieving that. But places like up north, Scotland, we've got a lot of growth to do there, Wales. Yeah, so I think that's my vision, is that if anyone found our website, really wanted to visit, they could get there without having to drive, more than an hour and a half away.
That's good. That's the first answer I've had like that, Becky. And I think that's a good, that's a really, no, it's a really great way of looking at it, because when you are able to achieve that, then you have national coverage. You become a national brand. And so it's easy to say we want to become a national brand, but actually the way you've defined it there is exactly, that's the right way to look at it. So yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. So I wanted to ask you, so you've been through the whole, setting up your own business, franchising it, taken on, 29, or you've got to, got a lot of franchisees over 25 now. What would you say has been the biggest hurdle that you've faced and overcome, obviously, by yourself, either personally or as a company in that time?
Well, I think we've got to say COVID was the biggest, greatest hurdle. None of us saw that coming. And when COVID came along, because we are a business that runs events and services, everything shut down within, 1 or 2 days from what I remember. So I had this team to support. And also I also had to work out where the brand was going. It pretty much overnight, it was really tough. We did manage to develop a cert. We were already offering the hire of kits, but we found that our customers, said the play areas would be too big for the house, too expensive. So we did develop the hire of mini kits, where we could break down our current play areas into two kits. So it was the right size for a house, for just a few children to play with. And we linked it to homeschooling, so we had curriculum links so that the children could learn through role play, and that is what ultimately kept the business going, kept the franchisees working. We did a drop off and collect at the door, and that's what got us through. But it was a really tough time. It was a roller coaster of lockdown, reopen, lockdown, and then working out how we could reopen in a COVID secure way. Was really tough, but we got through that, and I think it did make our business stronger in the fact that we did get through it, because none of us saw it coming. And I guess for every business, it was a struggle. Yeah, so definitely the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, no, I mean, sadly, so many businesses kind of closed and failed in that kind of 2 year period, and those ones that came through it, they had to adapt and they definitely became stronger. Yeah, definitely, I've seen that, and so in again, putting COVID aside, I suppose, because that I think for most franchisors has been their biggest challenge. I don't think the answer would be any different. But if we took that to one side, or put that to one side, what would you say in franchising has been, or what is, in your opinion, the biggest overall challenge faced in creating a successful franchise brand, which you obviously now are, but yeah, what would you say about that?
I would say that getting the support right for your franchisees is the biggest challenge, making sure that you're always providing support, but equally giving them the reins to run the business how they want to. They are their own boss. So getting that balance right, in that you're not trying to offer too much support and guidance, but equally you're there if they need you. I guess that is probably been the hardest challenge over the years, especially as the team has grown. So you go from having a few franchisees where it's easy to provide support because it's not too many, to having 29. And it will continue, I guess, to be a challenge as we grow even bigger. So it's getting that balance right, I think, is the key. And one day it might be great, the next day you might have to change it a little bit. Things change and evolve, don't they, over time? So I think that's probably the biggest challenge. But
Yeah.
it's key as well. You've got to support your franchisees. They've got to be happy. They are your business. They are your brand. Without them, there's no franchise, is there? So they're the most important thing to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's interesting because, on one hand, things get more difficult as your network gets bigger. But on another hand, as long as you put the right systems and processes in, it can get easier. And what I see in our experience is that franchise brands that have got have a big network of successful franchisees, where they ensure that the communication between franchisees, like a forum,
Yep.
like a place where all franchisees can chat, ask questions of each other, that actually becomes a brilliant way for a franchisor to provide support, because they're not doing it directly, but they are providing the communication systems, let's say, for franchisees to help each other to pick up the phone or to type something into a chat place and get that advice very quickly, because the bigger the network, you've got a chance of someone replying sometimes within minutes. Whereas if you go to the franchisor, it's not always a guarantee of that because a franchisor and their support people aren't there 24 hours a day. And so I think you're absolutely right. When you have a network, managing the communication is an absolute key. And I had one last question, Becky, which is just like, this is my inner child really asking this question a bit, because how many kind of worlds do you have, like role play worlds? How is that, and are you looking to add on to that? Because I just think in my head, I think about Lego and I think, oh wow, so many Lego worlds, and effectively you're kind of a big version of that. You're building these worlds, pop-up play villages, so I was just really interested because I was on the site and I was seeing this and that, and I just wanted to ask, how many do you have and how many worlds, and then are you always looking to think, oh, we can add another world, or and how yeah just how does that whole side of your business work?
So we have standard play areas that our franchisees get when they join the team. We call them these are standard play areas because all of our players at our construction site look the same across the network. But we do also have other play areas that either myself has created or a franchisee has created that you can create and add on to your business. I've also said to franchisees if they want to create new play areas, they can do. And then that's how that develops. And then some of the team want to do that as well. For example, one of my franchisees thought of a campsite, created the campsite. Now several of the team have campsites. So there isn't really a number of players that we have. But something we've also started just in the last year is we've started collaborating with really great toy brands where they've given us either one play area or a couple of them, and we call them our traveling play areas. So I post it out to one franchisee that's chosen randomly across the network to make it fair. That franchisee has it for a month. So, for example, we're collaborating with Pretend to Be, who do role play outfits. So we've got a Pretend to Be clothes shop that's in one location at the moment. Next month in April, it'll be in a different location. So we've also got these traveling play areas that are linked into really high quality toy businesses, toy companies. So we've got those as well. So there isn't really any limitation, to be honest. We're such a creative team between us. We have lots of ideas. I guess the main limit is how many play areas we can fit into a venue. But we do tend to set up around five play areas for a session. So we will mix it up and have different play areas there when we visit.
No, I think it's absolutely brilliant, Becky. And look, our time's up, and so I'm glad I asked that last question, because that's I've just seen how much my kids have loved that whole role play thing, I can see that what you offer is pretty amazing, actually. So from all the pictures and the videos I've looked at, so look, it's been a real pleasure, Becky, talking to you today. And I wish you all the best in your growth, and I'm sure you don't need any luck at all, because it's a great business model, and it's going to grow for sure. So, but yeah, have a great rest of your day, and hopefully we'll see you at some point in the future.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. It's lovely to chat with you today.
Cheers, Becky. Bye.
Bye.